There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
From the number one Sunday Times best-selling author of Her Majesty's Royal Coven comes the stunning sequel, The Shadow Cabinet. Join the witches of Hebden Bridge for more magic, mayhem, and romance as they take on dangerously sexy warlocks and witchfinders. Available in hardback and audiobook, narrated by Bridgerton star Nicola Coughlan. The Shadow Cabinet, the new novel from Juno Dawson, is out now.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening to a slightly hungover Juno Dawson and a perpetually hungover Dylan B. Jones. Welcome. Yeah. Hello.
Juno was playing chess and getting drunk last night with...
I'm so crispy I can't even be bothered to think up a hilarious pun. Well, think of one as the episode goes on.
Yeah, we'll come up with one. Anthony's sphincter and Giuseppe's dick.
I was thinking, like, top Dylan B. Jones. Confirmed top. Top for life, Dylan B. Jones.
And we'll
Italian get in... verse, Giuseppe.
Italian verse. Well, we can get into that, actually. I was quite interested in... that conversation, but
fine, yeah. With being called NB Juno Dawson.
Oh my god. This episode,
Chase clitoris Juno Dawson.
This show, we're almost at the end, but I'm not sure if we're going to survive it. Like
Wyatt's broken leg, Juno Dawson.
Broken in two places, Juno
broken
Dawson.
Broken in two places. Aiden's tears, Dylan B. Jones. let's unravel it. It's Sam Smith and Sam Smith's hipster friend, Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones. Okay, hello. Yes, as you might have guessed, we are still doing our weekly recaps of And Just Like That Season 2. This week, we have landed on the first part of the two-part finale, and I say that very loadedly, The Last Supper Part 1.
Yes.
It's all feeling a bit final, isn't it, Dylan? The fact we've got a two-parter, which we've not had since American Girl in Paris.
Yeah.
In fact, it's called The Last Supper.
The Last Supper, yeah. Mm. The fact, like, the press shot of them all is them at The Last Supper, and we're getting vibes. I'm getting vibes that it's the end.
I wonder if HBO Max acquired two seasons up front and everybody's contract is up now. So the main cast were locked in for two seasons. Mm. And it's either renegotiation time where everybody will want a lovely paycheck or the slightly mixed response. I don't know. And obviously HBO's in some issues. I think the HBO's kind of in a strange place. It's lost its flagship show in Succession.
Game of Thrones.
Well, they've got House of the Dragon, so the House of the Dragon is still in production.
Yeah.
And obviously the first episode of House of the Dragons, I think, got like 10 million views. Like, crazy. But I wonder if Anne Just Like That, although it still feels very zeitgeisty, it still feels...
It's really picked up momentum in terms of, like, people talking about it. I think people took a while to get into it, and I remember I was quite surprised and a little bit perturbed, because we've got a podcast about it, so it's in our interest for people to be talking about it. That the first two episodes dropped to like very little fanfare, like no one was talking about it on Instagram, but now it really has gathered momentum.
I've talked to The Guardian, I've talked to Grazia, we've BBC both talked to the News. BBC this week.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting. It's an interesting thing about like our streaming era, though, the way that like shows can build momentum sort of retroactively.
People will find it when they find it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It has been, it is on billboards. It's on the side of buses. I think there's something about Sex and the City in the same way that there's something about the Spice Girls. Still, you know, the tabloids, there is still this real obsession. And I think it's to do with the fact they're women. I think it's to do with the fact they're beautiful. Tabloids and TV always have used beautiful women as kind of decoration. And I think when the original Sex and the City ran, there wasn't anything quite like it, you know, and there hadn't really been since... like Charlie's Angels, that was really just about sort of like a group of beautiful women who will look great in your magazines.
Yeah.
And, you know, there've been shows since, whether it's Pretty Little Liars, you know, or similar, you know, Desperate Housewives. But I think there was something about, there's something really tabloidy about Sex and the City, massively helped by the feud between Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker as well. That doesn't hurt.
And even just its name, Sex and the City, is so tabloid, isn't it? Like, it's like a tabloid headline, the name of it. And Just Like That, similarly, there's nothing quite like And Just Like That.
No, I still wish they'd just called it Sex and the City, personally. But I'm just mostly glad they didn't call it So I Got to Thinking.
Yeah,
that would have been. We might have had a lawsuit after us. We're buying your Instagram. Wow,
that would have been a very surreal experience if they had done that, and might have fucked us.
It could have really fucked us. So thanks for that, HBO. But yes, so let's get into it. The Last Supper Part One. Have you got a potted synopsis?
I have indeed. So, Carrie's sort of main job this week is like. Sort of mediator, really. She's sort of like running around between everyone, and until the end doesn't get much meatiness for her storyline. At the end we see like a big crack suddenly show in her and Aiden's plans relationship. But yeah, she's mostly just planning her Michelin starred meal for 16 people that she won
in her old flat. She gonna put everyone?
I was
in the
like,
cupboard.
I was like, that's a very privileged prize. Just the assumption that anyone in New York would be able to fit 16 people into where they live. You've got to be very rich in New York. The maximum amount of people Chris and I can have for dinner is 5. Just because our flat
Max and I don't have a dining table. We can have people in the garden. So for a beautiful al fresco meal, I think we can get 6 round our table. But
Or like a boho. You could do it like... cushions on the floor and serve like mezze.
I have done that, and it's not ideal. When we move house, crossed fingers, that's my first thing, is I'm getting a dining table. I want to have people around for dinner.
Lovely.
Have you and Chris around for dinner?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Last supper. it feels very ending. I want all my favourite people in the flat I'm giving to the skinny model downstairs. It just feels like the end. It feels like the end again.
And we knew we predicted Lisette would end up in Carrie's apartment. And I kind of, as much as I'm really mad that Carrie's moving out, so I'm doing the point of synopsis. We'll get to it. This episode is so crazy that I just keep getting sidetracked. Charlotte is being successful at work, is juggling like family life and work life, basically, isn't she? And that comes quite entertainingly to a head. LTW is considered talking about her pregnancy, thinking about her pregnancy. We can get into that.
Yeah.
Because that is. Anthony and Giuseppe some sex stuff as I wanted.
Yeah.
Some sex stuff for Anthony and Giuseppe. Nothing for Naya. Naya buys a stroller.
send them a souffle.
Yeah. a Miranda and Che.
Ooh,
Miranda.
Yeah. Ooh.
Miranda decides she needs to sort of stop avoiding her exes. And so goes to Che's comedy show. And that's a disaster.
It doesn't end well.
Does not end well, no.
A potential new love interest I saw on the horizon for Ms. Hobbs as well, in the form of Joy.
Joy from the BBC. I wonder if
Joy from
works,
the BBC.
I wonder if Joy works at BBC America and knows anything about Jules and
Jules
Mimi.
And Mimi.
It all comes back to Jules and Mimi.
Yeah. Right, so let's take it one step at a time then. So, Aidan and Carrie...
Yes.
I knew we'd not seen the last of Wyatt Shaw.
Calling his mum a dick on FaceTime.
Yeah, what a bitch. Yeah, Wyatt can get fucked.
Well, he does. He gets fucked up in a
car
crash.
Yeah, it's a shame. Shame he doesn't die. But I think so I've changed my mind now. So the jeopardy is not, oh my God, will Carrie end up with Aidan?
Mm.
It's, oh my God, will Aidan dump Carrie?
Mm.
So it's kind of, so I think we are now fully, as the audience, we are meant to be rooting for Carrie and Aidan.
Yes.
That nobody has addressed that was big mistake line.
No.
It feels like no one is going to address whether or not Carrie is right for Aidan. We are meant to fully, wholeheartedly believe that Carrie is right for Aidan. We're not meant to question that.
I thought it was interesting. You're right, I think. And I think they've massively misjudged that because mm-hmm. the audience, if comments, I think I said this last week, if comments that I've seen on Instagram, both on ours and in general, mm-hmm. like on other meme accounts and on the official and just like that account, if those comments are anything to go by, people are angry at this storyline. People are pissed.
You can't have a line like was big a big mistake and then not kind of come back to it.
No, yeah, fucking hell. I thought it was interesting and also kind of confirmed for me that like it's Aidan and Carrie now when they addressed Aiden's bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you remember when they're chatting?
They're in bed in the hotel and he talks about, I realise now, you know, I tried to pressure you into things.
I tried to lock it down and I shouldn't have, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. But then also, why throw the spanner in the works one episode? If they want them to end up together, why throw
which
the spanner?
Which I now think they will.
Yeah.
So I think that's the happy... So again, regardless of how we feel about Big or Aidan, we are meant to want now a happy ending between... Carrie and Aidan, which I think... So when did he come back? Episode 6 or 7?
I think it was 7.
So he's been in 7, 8, 9, 10... He's been in 5 episodes and we're meant to really want them to be together.
Mm. I mean, yeah, and so... Yeah, yeah. And then, although I thought... She mentioned that she'd left that 16th seat free.
Oh, he's definitely coming. Or is Samantha coming?
I thought maybe Samantha's coming.
But so do you think we've been led down the garden path and that it's not just a shitty phone call and actually Samantha turns up?
I mean, that would be incredible. But I just
mean,
can't...
I would die.
I would cease to live. I would
but apparate. I think that's the hero moment for Aidan, which is we think he is going to leave Carrie, but then he gets over himself and goes to the apartment he said he'd never go back to.
And we'll have Charlotte saying, here he is.
Yeah.
But Michael Patrick King loves a moment, loves a surprise, someone showing up at dinner moment. He's done it with Big and Seema now. And in both scenes, Charlotte's been like, there they are.
Aidan can come inside your apartment. He's not a vampire.
Love isn't dead. We can have two great loves. Love John Corbett. The acting crying in the car was inexcusable. Like, really bad.
I'm glad you said it. I thought you were about to say it was great. I was
No. Like, what? No. Also, like, it's so extreme. Like, your kid is not dead. Like, your kid is going to be... I get it. It's upsetting. But your kid is going to be fine.
Do you know what it is? It's because at this stage, they all want to do things they've never done before. Mm. You know, when you come back to a role that you've done for 25 years, they all want to piss the bed while somebody's having sex in the kitchen, basically. And John Corbett must have said, look, I want really meaty stuff.
I want a good old cry.
I want
cry.
To cry. Yeah.
But that's the spanner, isn't it? So the kid, Wyatt, is missing Aiden and has an accident, like, you know, acts up and has an accident and breaks his arm and his collarbone. Mm-hmm. And Aiden feels bad that he's not there. I just at this stage don't really care, like, and it also doesn't matter, we've got one episode left, like,
I don't think we care enough about Aiden and Carrie to, yeah, like, if he was to say, look, my kids have to come first, I'm gonna go spend some time back home,
yeah,
I'd be like, yeah, that seems reasonable.
And also, yeah, but and sure. Also, if that had happened earlier, the stakes would be higher because we know there's only one episode left, it's kind of like, well, obviously, this is not going to come to anything.
And I wish they'd sort of acknowledged more, kind of, maybe on a second watch, this will be more sort of drummed home about how Carrie and Aiden are able to sort of like almost sort of rekindle the love they once had because they know each other so well.
Mm.
I mean, it was somewhat addressed in the Was Big a Big Mistake one, but it is nice this week to see Aiden address some of the things that we've picked up on as an audience, that actually some of Aiden's behaviour was quite toxic.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, at certain points they have been good at, and we've said this a few times, as much as they have been tone deaf with viewers in some decisions, they've been good at like anticipating what's on people's minds and addressing it.
Mm.
Sometimes. Other times they've been the opposite.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that what it boils down to is I'm not convinced what it is between Aiden and Carrie, other than the fact she had a really good orgasm. Like, what do they love about each other? What do they talk about?
They've got nothing in common. Not that you have to have stuff in common. Like, you and I don't have, are quite different, I think, to our partners, aren't we? But
yes,
we definitely have similar interests. Like, Chris and I talk about film all the time, and media and things like that. I can't imagine Carrie and, yeah, I know what you mean. I can't imagine them having a conversation, and they don't really have a convincing conversation when he's talking about being like the country lurch and she's like, oh, poor you. And it's like,
yeah, I can't quite. So, I mean, obviously it's all to play for next week. We don't know what's going to happen, but, yeah, I just think, I mean, maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe this show has been secretly renewed for season 3 and they're just playing us for fools, but which is also a possibility as well.
I mean, who knows with this show?
We were of course quite surprised when they announced season 2. So
yeah, that's true.
But this time it really feels like they're bringing it to an end. Calling it the Last Supper, it does feel like the end.
And Kim Cattrall being back as well next week.
And Kim Cattrall. I just think, I don't know. Let's see what happens. I mean, like I said, this morning I sprang out of bed and I just wanted to watch And Just Like That, even yeah, with a hangover. So
me too.
So there you go. let's see. Yeah, next week it's all to play for. But again, Carrie's role was quite interesting this week with what you say about her sort of being a mediator and sort of steering Miranda. She goes to see Steve on Coney Island. I can't believe Carrie Bradshaw has never been to Coney Island in 30 years in New York.
I didn't quite buy that because I would have thought she would have liked the whole like Lana Del Rey girly, like Coney Island, like the kitschiness of it. I thought she would have stand Coney Island, to be honest.
The way that she went to Atlantic City and loved Atlantic City.
Yeah.
But great to see Coney Island, obviously.
Yeah, very Brighton. Reminded me of Brighton.
We get a plot development for Steve in that he's bought a hot dog and clam stand.
Very him. And I really like Carrie and Steve's interactions.
Yeah.
It's something about, I think we said it in one episode that we were doing of the original show. It's something, there's something really nice about people interacting with their best friend's like romantic partner, and even more so, I guess, ex-romantic partner, because it just shows how involved you are in each other's lives.
Yeah, I don't think, is there a single scene between Carrie and Smith Jared?
No, and I can't imagine that at all, actually.
I don't think there is there? That is no. Just not a single scene.
Unless you count her like watching the play, but... and then Carrie and Anthony, and oh my god, with Stanford being the Shinto monk.
Nice that Stanford gets a mention. Obviously, he's barely been mentioned this season. Mm. Was that Willie Garson in the weird picture? It didn't really look like
it was
Willie Garson. It to was the point that they even said great Photoshop. I was like,
yeah, it was a Photoshopped picture. I think I can see what they were doing. They were sort of like, and this is another thing that felt final. They were like giving him a send off.
Well, everybody, Steve getting a little bit of finality with his new business.
Yeah.
Feels very like, final.
But I was like, are they really going to, when I saw her getting the photograph out, I was like, are they really going to show a Photoshopped photograph of deceased Willie Garson as a Shinto monk? And then I was like, oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah, they're going to do that. Yeah.
They have. Yeah. I liked in that scene, Anthony, Mario Cantone getting some emotional acting. He was quite good at it.
I thought actually the Giuseppe plotline was quite good as well, actually. Yeah.
Should we get into that? Are we done with Carrie?
Yeah. Because the scene between Anthony and Carrie about Stanford feels like a nice segue into talking about Anthony anyway. So them resolving very finally. I am happy now. Bye, says Stanford. Yeah. Please take all my worldly belongings. Bye. Yeah. That's the end of Stanford. Let's talk about Anthony and Giuseppe. So it turns out Anthony is a really committed top.
Uh-huh. And he was like, I don't do that about bottoming. And then Giuseppe's like, oh, but we can... Why does it have to be... Why does one of us have to be the woman? Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no, it was Anthony who said... Yeah, it was Anthony who said, because I'm not the woman. Which does reek of sort of that kind of slight tinge of misogyny that you can sometimes find within gay men.
Yeah, I'm not sure how convinced I am that an experienced gay man living in New York, no matter how old he was, would say that now. Mind you, this is Anthony we're talking about. Like, he's not exactly the most PC.
No.
I did enjoy Tell That to My Sphincter. when Giuseppe's like, I'll be gentle or something. But yeah, interesting conversation. A lot of gay men still have big hang-ups about this. Like, on Grindr, you still always see things like total top. And I've experienced attitude firsthand on, like, both sides. It's still a thing, definitely, for sure.
I think the top and bottom conversation, I think it's one of those where it can be a bit like quicksand. I think it's a spectrum, you know, and so some people, I think there's nothing more important than being comfortable in the bedroom or wherever it is you're having sex. And I think some people, just don't want to do certain things in bed, and that's fine.
I mean, I think it's...
Giuseppe really tries to go a bit therapist and be like, but why don't you want to experience this love? And maybe Anthony's just kind of like, I just don't want anything up my bum.
Like, which is fair enough.
Dirt deep it, like, as kids would say.
Yeah. It's not deep. I think it's comparable to sexuality. And, like, it is a form of sexuality. Hmm. So, like, some people are gay, some people are straight, some people are bi, some people are top, some people are bottom, some people are verse. But I think some people don't... I think there are different reasons. So I think, like, some people deprive themselves of
experiences.
Because of their own like hang-ups. And some people just don't want to do it because they can't be asked, so to speak.
Literally.
Or because they don't feel like it or whatever. Mm. So I do think there is a definite difference there. I find the psychology around it super interesting in terms of, like, because me and my friends talk about this stuff till the cows come home. And I found it really interesting when I was given a position of authority at work, I suddenly became more interested in that in the bedroom as well. And I was like, wow, this is interesting. And I became more interested in more like stereotypically like assertive sexual positions when I was in a more assertive position in life. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Again, that's quite deep. I mean, for me, I always think, God, you should try everything once.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit like, you know, it's a bit like when people say, oh, I'd never eat a prawn. And I'm like, well, have you tried it? And like, oh, no, it's just, it's good. I don't like. And you're like, well, how would you know? No, actually, have I ever tried an oyster? No. Am I ever going to try an oyster? No, because it looks like a horrid bit of snot. And I think you have to draw the line somewhere. But actually, I think by and large, in sex, as in life, don't knock it till you've tried it. And I think if Anthony had said, look, I just really don't like anal sex, perhaps that would have been more convincing than I've never done it, kind of.
I think it was maybe, to be fair to Giuseppe, I think it was maybe the woman line that concerned Giuseppe.
Yes.
And Giuseppe was like, hang on a minute, what's going on? And I, like, if a guy said that to me, I'd be, frankly, out of there, I think. Because I'd be like
that's so reductive.
Yeah, like, I'd be like, I can tell from you saying that you're just
That's what straight people say. Like, is one of you the man and one of you the woman? You know, that's really fucking ignorami straight 101. Kind of the
whole
point.
Oh my God, someone said that to me like relatively recently and I was shocked. Because I was like,
is it me?
I was like, is this 2007? I think it was a drunk girl at a party who I didn't know very well. I forget who it was. But yeah, I was like, I just laughed. I was like, did you really just say that to me? Yeah, funny. But yeah, kind of interesting for Anthony. I really liked Mario Cantone this week, as I said. I thought his...
Yeah, this softer side couldn't have come a minute too soon because he was getting right on my tits. So
yeah, and when he was emotional over Stanford, it made me wish like he had had... They'd done him a bit more... They did him dirty a bit, really, this season. Yeah. They did.
That's something I'm going to get to in part two when we talk about Seema as well, who is such a wonderful character. And if this is it, if this is her last two episodes...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot her.
Seema,
in the potted...
We barely knew you, literally.
Sarita Chowdhury, call us. We want to go for drinks. She lives in London, I think.
Does
we
she
want
really?
To go, we want to go for it. She, well, she's, Brit- she's British and therefore, and she's an actor. So therefore, I've surmised that she lives in London, which is probably a reasonable.
Let's do it, Sarita. Okay, we're going to take a break in a second. But before we do, I would like to do a little mention for one of our favourite Instagram accounts, which is at Just Like That Closet.
Yes.
We featured Victoria, who runs the account, on season one of our own Just Like That recaps. We loved how Victoria was incredibly quick off the mark with identifying where the clothes and accessories that were being worn on the show were coming from. And Victoria would tell you where you could purchase them if you so wanted to, including things like jewellery, handbags. But of course, this was before the Russian invasion of Ukraine took place. And Victoria is Ukrainian. She lives in, I want to say, Odessa. And over the weekend, her apartment got hit by a Russian drone. And we want to send Victoria all our love from So I Got to Thinking podcast. Some messages, people have sent us messages saying maybe we should do something, maybe we should start a GoFundMe. But these things already exist. And actually, I think probably the most useful thing we can do is direct our listeners to the official Red Cross campaign.
Yeah.
If you just Google British Red Cross, Ukraine, they already have a massive, massive fundraiser where you can donate money. And that's better than Dylan and I trying to sort out where the funds are going to go to and find a reputable place to send your hard-earned money during the Cozy Lives.
Yeah.
So if you are feeling like you want to help, that we think that maybe that's the most straightforward way to do it. But no, thank you to those people who reached out for us. We have seen, I've reached out to Victoria. She's fine. She thanks us for our wishes. Mm. And I think really that's the people of Ukraine what, nearly 18 months on since the invasion, I think they're worried that they're being forgotten.
Yeah.
And that the new cycle has moved on. Obviously, we also want to send our thoughts to the people of Maui and Hawaii in general as well. You know, it's one horror story after the next, isn't it, when you turn on the news?
Yeah.
But Ukraine, Victoria, we haven't forgotten you. And you can send her a message yourself at Just Like That Closet on Instagram. Yeah.
And thank you to our wonderful, caring listeners as well for getting in touch with us about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a little break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the rest of the very large cast. See you in a sec.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, welcome back. We are dining out at the Last Supper Part 1, the season finale of, and just like that, Season 2. Okay, let's look at the nexus of Che Diaz and Miranda Hobbs. Ooh, it got nasty this week. That che was... Diaz. Finally, the true villain has ascended.
Kind of doing justice to, like, the L-O-R-E of Che Diaz with this episode.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's almost like we knew we fucking hated Che Diaz. And it's kind of like, I wouldn't go that far. But yes, Che Diaz continues to be, I think, what Sara Ramirez and Michael Patrick King always intended them to be, which is an incredibly morally grey character.
Mm. Although, interested to get your thoughts on this, I'm not sure if Che did much wrong in that stand-up. Like, they were quite vicious, but they were right when they said that this is what stand-ups do. Like, I've seen stand-up that is like that. Mm-hmm.
I mean, possibly that was Miranda's biggest mistake of all, which was to shag a stand-up comedian.
And also surprising them. When Miranda was like, oh, I'm going to surprise them, I was like, this is not going to go well.
Well, yeah, because Che might have warned Miranda that they had used their the relationship as material. Yeah. But one wonders, a bit like how Kathy rang Carrie last week, and said, look, please don't use my kids as material. I can't imagine that Miranda and Che hadn't had a conversation where Miranda was like, you're not going to use this for material, are you?
Mm,
kind of.
Maybe.
And so I think
And Miranda's like got a lawyer background. She would have she would have like made sure, wouldn't she? She would have said like, let's not use this, probably. Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a betrayal. If you haven't warned enough, obviously we know from Miranda's face that Che has not warned Miranda that they've used their relationship as material. That's not cute.
No. This scene, I would have been a lot more impressed by this scene if it hadn't been pilfered from Feel Good, the Mae Martin comedy. There's something exactly this happens in that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember?
Dimly, yeah. I loved Feel Good. I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, incredible. Yeah, I mean, possibly not. I can't confirm that it's been pilfered, but I strongly suspect, heavily used for inspiration, shall we say, I think Feel Good was for this scene.
I mean, possibly as soon as Che was conceived as a stand-up comic, I wonder if it was kind of always sort of heading in this direction. Mm. But Che did not cover themselves in glory at that point.
No, and then they go off into the night with Toby.
Yeah, and as well, I mean, it felt for somewhat TV purposes that Che pegged it off stage after about a minute and a half of material.
Yeah. And then the audience were like, oh, okay.
Does Che still get paid?
Miranda says, I can't treat Che the way I treated Skipper.
Yeah, Skipper. But never mind fucking Skipper. What about Steve?
I know. Oh, fucking, yeah.
I wonder if that's why we know now that Carrie has gathered Steve and Che and Miranda at her cursed Last Supper.
I mean, it's quite a genius idea to end it on, like, a dinner. And I almost hope the whole episode is dinner and them all just, like, going, because I love stuff like that, just, like, talky, dramatic dinner for, like, the whole episode of them all just going at it. I thought it was really interesting, and real props to Sara Ramirez when they watch themselves back as their old selves.
Yeah, although I didn't see the need necessarily.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what we were.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we were meant to take away from that scene, genuinely. Other than, yeah, I was a bit confused. I wasn't sure what the take home message was from that.
Yeah, like, is Che? Because I thought, are we gonna get a storyline with Che maybe going back to their old selves? But then I realised we've only got one episode left.
Yeah.
Again, so like,
and Toby kind of reaffirming with the slightly on the nose, sorry, I didn't even ask if you were all right with being called an MB.
There's nothing hotter than a strong MB.
That felt
person.
A bit season one. That line felt a little bit season one. It's a shame. It feels like a lot of the stuff around Che being non-binary does feel a little bit introductory. But that said, I don't want to name names, but I was at a Pride event where somebody misgendered Che all the way through a conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't want to. I thought, it's fucking Pride weekend. I'm not going to start a fucking argument at somebody's barbecue about Che Diaz's pronouns. But it goes to show that despite what now, how many episodes has Che been in? Nearly 20 episodes of television. And people still have not got the fucking grip of the fact Che uses they them pronouns.
I have a hard time thinking that that's not like a bit on purpose. Do you know what I mean? Like, surely
at this stage, yes.
Yeah, surely it's a bit, you know, fucking shitty to be doing that. I still see she sometimes, not on our Instagram comments, but on other Instagram comments about Che, I see she sometimes, people calling them she. Yeah.
Is that people being belligerent, or do people really struggle that much with singular they pronouns?
I find it very hard to believe that people struggle that much. And if they do, then they need to fucking go back to school.
It's like, I always think it's like handing in a bag at the gym. Someone has left their bag on the floor. Could you give it to them?
Yeah.
We all do it. We can all do it. We can all use singular they pronouns.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's we do it all the time. It's like, come on, it's really not that difficult. But anyway, yeah, Che, Miranda was really hurt. I would have been really hurt as well if I hadn't been warned. But it's okay, because now maybe Miranda is going to end up with lovely Joy from the BBC with her Italian greyhounds. Hello, Maybe you could come meet my Italian greyhounds.
They're awful.
They're ghastly.
They're ghastly. And she'll help her. She'll do the law. She'll law check the script for season 16 of Jules and Mimi.
Raina's back at the office. That moved quick. That was the shortest maternity leave I've ever seen in my life. But she's back. So I don't know what that means for Miranda's job, but that's fine. Meanwhile, speaking of jobs, hooray! Charlotte has sold $100,000 piece of artwork, maybe to Sam Smith. That wasn't entirely...
Yeah, we're not sure if Sam Smith purchased artwork or not.
Did Sam Smith purchase the big head? I don't know.
Speaking of non-binary people, this episode of television might be the episode of television with the most non-binary people in it ever.
Four, yeah.
Yeah, we've got Rock, Sam Smith...
Toby Che and Che.
And Toby. Mm. Yeah. 10 points, 10 out of 10, if that's the case.
Well done.
I thought Sam Smith's cameo was slightly awkward, but then...
Awkward, but entirely inoffensive.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Rather like their music. I've nothing against Sam Smith. What a beautiful voice. What a beautiful voice. Don't compare them to George Michael, but what a beautiful voice. The cameo was literally a cameo. Nice. You got your wish, Dylan. You said you wanted to see Charlotte at work, and this week we did.
Yeah. And we saw Charlotte being reinforced for, like, doing a good job and smashing it at work. And I really enjoyed Kristen Davis drunk. I enjoyed it. It was silly. But...
And may I say, it feels like whatever work Ms. Davis has had,
seems to
it
have settled.
Yeah, I thought she looked fantastic. It's that's what we're waiting for when it all calms down a little bit. Well done, Ms. Davis's doctor.
And I loved her when she has that rant at her family at the end when Lily calls
when Lily calls her
gross. Lily's like, "You're so gross, Mum."
Lily, just go back to your altar and continue to summon your one
demons.
True Lord Satan.
Yeah. And then she like slams the door and then opens it and like lets in Richard
Burton.
So the dog,
which is what I would do. I'm cross at all of you except the dog. because it feels like that was the speech. That was her mum, which is before any of you, I was something other than a wife and mother. And that was Charlotte's storyline this season. So there we go. And I'm really, really glad we got that plot line for Charlotte. Maybe even more delighted than I am to see Miranda acting like Miranda again.
Yeah.
I was really happy that Charlotte has found her way back to herself.
Yeah.
And to be all the things she can be, to all the different hats that Charlotte York Golden Black can wear. And now she's wearing them all very well and very expertly. And I really loved it, that her confrontation with Harry, which is, but why do I have to go to school? Why can't you?
And he's like, but I'm the, and she's like, the what? The man, the
the breadwinner.
The breadwinner, That's good.
It's tricky because... Yeah, no, it's sometimes very difficult in that situation, but I'll tell you what, they have got a lot of money, so I've got to tell you what, they could also have a personal assistant.
Yes.
For just that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think the kids need a nanny at this point, but Charlotte and Harry, look into a PA. Shall I see who they could get back? What's the chops with the big boobs from Sex and the City 2? You know, jogging Irish nanny. Yeah, was she played by...
I was going to say they should get Louise from St. Louis back on the blower.
Oh my God, get Louise from... Oh my God, that... Can you imagine in the final episode if Charlotte's like, I think we need an assistant, and Carrie's like, I've got you covered.
Jennifer Hudson.
Enter Jennifer Hudson carrying her very own Louis Vuitton, which is horrible, but at least it's not rented. It's like Netflix for purses.
Oh, God.
I can't wait, listeners, to when we get to these films. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it with an audience. You're all invited.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yes, how lovely. Charlotte, well done. Swooping into a conversation that I think is a slightly more thorny one, which is the Lisa Todd Wexley baby mama drama.
Yes.
I really, you know how last week I said it would be really cool to see them have a plotline about a woman in her 40s or 50s choosing to have a termination because now is just not the right time in their lives.
Yeah.
Why did they sail around that conversation in such a shit way? They didn't even say the word abortion. Like, are we ready to have the other conversation?
I don't want to speak for... I'm very aware that I'm not a womb in the room, but I'm fucking pissed off. Like, I am pissed off. Like, they, like you said, like, skirted around it in the most fucking wimpy of ways. As you said, didn't even say the word abortion.
I'm glad I have that choice, but...
Yes, that fucking pissed me off. They were like, oh, well, we'll just make sure that we address it a little bit. And then the conclusion of it really reminded me of, like, and this is why I was so angry and concerned about, like, how things are now. The conclusion of it was how... these storylines used to pan out like a decade ago. Like a woman would get pregnant, there'd be drama for a bit when she was like thinking like, oh God, what do I do? And then she very conveniently, like, the pregnancy doesn't happen, like, but without her having an abortion. And it's just fucking cheap. And I was so annoyed. Like, and if we can't do an abortion storyline on HBO on a Sex and the City reboot,
exactly, yeah,
where can we do it? Like, are things really that bad? Like, come on. I was fucking pissed off.
They live in New York. Abortion is available.
Yeah.
I think now, with the overturning of Roe v. Wade in America, now was absolutely the time they needed to be telling this story more than ever, ever before. And obviously Miranda, again, but that's twice now on Sex and the City that women have walked or stepped back from conversations around abortion. We know Carrie had one, obviously. But it feels like things were different. When they did the Miranda abortion and Carrie abortion storyline in 2001, abortion was available freely to women in all 50 states of the United States. Whereas now in many states, that right is being whittled down to basically being illegal.
Yeah.
And women are furious. When I was in America, women are scared.
Yeah.
And it feels like such a missed opportunity. Now, what I will say is so many people I know have miscarried, you know, and so it's so important to be able to see miscarriage on television because we have to normalize miscarriage. But Sex and the City's done it. When Charlotte miscarried, and they did it beautifully, the Charlotte miscarriage storyline, which we are about to get to in our regular episodes, is so well done. And it did, because Lisa and Herbert didn't really want this baby, it felt, the fact that Lisa does miscarry does feel a bit like, oh, well, then that's that.
Yeah.
There we go, then. Nobody needs to make a potentially controversial decision.
That's how I felt. Yeah, like, in no way do I want to, like, diminish the experiences of, like, miscarriage. I know people who have had miscarriages as well. But it was just, yeah, like, like you said, like, in this instance, it just felt like they did it
incredibly,
because it was
convenient.
It was convenient. And literally that scene where she's like, oh, it's too late to go to the hospital. That scene was, what, 2 minutes long? And that was that. Done.
It's an abortion storyline I haven't really seen on television. A woman in her 40s, a professional woman, making a really kind of considered choice about her body and her life. I'm a little fucked off, actually.
We had a couple of messages from people. Because we talked about it a bit. We touched on it last week.
Yeah.
And a couple of people said there was one, I think with Bea Arthur, in a show that Bea Arthur was in, not Golden Girls, but a different show.
Yes. Yeah. I think that might have been the first abortion to be shown on television.
Yeah, I do remember now, because it was, like, infamous, wasn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, so there was that. But, I mean, it's incredibly rare, obviously, still. And it just concerns...
Still, I mean, you just don't see it very often on television. You just don't.
I think part of the reason I was so fucked off with this was because I think I... after our conversation last week, convinced myself that it definitely would be, that they would definitely go for it. And I was just so disappointed when they didn't. I was so disappointed.
Like, again, you know, it's plausible that Lisa would miscarry because a lot of women do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of women miscarry. But right now in America, now was the time to do a story about abortion, and it just feels they've fucking bottled it. It's very hard to see, regard it any other way. So there we go.
Do you think it's possible that they might have put it in the script and then, like, some powers that be were like, no, sorry?
Potentially.
Mm.
Could be that Nicole Ari Brooks. Is it Nicole Ari Brooks? Parker, Nicole Ari
Page,
Parker.
Nicole Page Brooks.
Oh my God. Nicole Ari Parker.
Nicole Ari Parker.
It could be that the performer wasn't keen. We don't know what her personal stance on abortion is, but...
And also, like, you're opening yourself up potentially to, like, abuse if you act a scene like that. I thought she was great in this episode.
Yeah.
A
shame. What a missed opportunity, though.
Yeah.
Should we touch on Seema? Seema and Naya, we barely knew you. It feels like Seema and Naya are in the same boat, along with Lizette, which is these... They brought in a lot of new characters. We don't really know them.
Yeah.
Seema was our favourite as well. And again, we're back to where we were with Sex and the Deed, which is everyone's going to finish up with a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
unless things do go tits up with Ravi next week, but which it could, I don't know.
I just feel like there's not enough time to wrap everything up.
I think they're going to give it a go, Dylan. They're going to give it a good try. Yeah, they're going to give it a good old try. It feels like Naya hasn't had a storyline this year, really. No. So I don't think there's a lot there that needs wrapping.
That baby shower invite was incredibly... was amazingly disgusting.
Yeah. I hope Samantha. She doesn't go. Yeah,
I love Miranda's like ugh when she sees the invite. Also, shout out to Judy. Judy doesn't do shitty club drag. Chase colleague.
Yeah, more characters. More characters. We just need more. More characters. Brady. What's happening with Brady? Let's bring them all in.
I did enjoy that Carrie, on her school trip to the UN, didn't visit the UN because she went to Fiorucci to buy a pair of pink jellies. That was... Yeah.
Correct. That is exactly what Carrie Bradshaw would do. Yeah. I wonder if that actually happened in an episode of The Carrie Diaries and it was an incredibly meta shout-out, but I doubt it very much.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Okay, right, I think we've said all we can say because we just desperately need to see next week to figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What do we think, listeners? Are we team Carrie and Aiden or do we just simply not care?
Team hashtag dead big, we said last week, didn't we?
Dead big.
Hashtag dead,
okay, let
dead
us
big.
Know. Let's assume, because I think it might be. Let's assume that we're gathering next week for the last ever episode of I'm Just Like That.
But then we're back to season 6 of Sex and the
City. Then we'll be back to season 6. Maybe not for a bit, because we're on the last stretch now. So we're going to eke it out. You best believe we're going to eke it out. So there will be a gap, but we'll be back. We've still got 12 episodes or 10 episodes of season 6 left to cover, so we're only halfway through.
And then we're going to have the remake or the reboot of And Just Like That that is going to be called So I Got to Thinking.
Yay, can't wait. Yeah. Okay, right, we'll see you this time next week for the grand finale, Last Supper Part 2.
Yes.
Until then, take care of yourselves, like and subscribe, and yes, speak to you soon. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.